With Laura Fox. Podcast.
Now, he's the king of YouTube, but his attempts to step into mainstream seem to have gone a little bit wonky. Jimmy Donaldson, known to everyone else as Mr. Beast, is kind of a big deal. But is he about to be cancelled? Here now to tell us all about him and his troubles is Elaine Burke from For Tech's Sake Podcast. Thank you so much for coming back with us again. We love having you in the studio. You have bundles of information on absolutely every topic we throw your way. And this one is huge. And there's so much to cover on this, Elaine. First off, how big of a player on YouTube is Mr. Beast?
The biggest. So in the last year or so, he became like the top YouTuber. And that's in the number of subscribers that he has. So he's over 300 million subscribers to one of his channels. And that's why he's in the top spot. But actually, he has four more channels that are also in the numbers of tens of millions. So if you actually totted them all up, he has got 466 million plus subscribers across his five channels. So he's approaching half a billion of an audience
that
on
is
YouTube.
Outrageous.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you like an audience like that, Laura?
I don't think so. I kind of like what we have. Everyone's on the same page. We know where we're going. You know, it's hard. The bigger the numbers get, especially in that stream of things, things go out of context. Anyways, hang on, we'll get into this, right? Who is his audience? Like, who are they?
Well, like, I suppose it could be, when you have those kind of numbers, it could be a massive miss. So obviously he has fans.
Yeah.
He definitely has fans, a huge fandom, as we can tell. But he'd also would be followed by YouTubers more generally, because it's kind of a case of what Mr. Beast does is worth replicating.
Okay.
I've even read pieces about how he does his thumbnails, how he designs his thumbnails. If he changes that, a lot of YouTubers will follow suit. Like, he is quite influential in how he actually does YouTube.
You know, he's translating
on
everything.
So YouTubers generally will also follow him as well, just to be, you know, abreast of what's the thing to be doing on YouTube to be successful. And then obviously, like, there's media types, people who cover these kind of YouTube personalities and stuff like that will also follow him. And then, as is the case with online subscribers and things like that, it costs you nothing to subscribe. And most people, you know, doesn't necessarily mean that they're constantly watching every video. So a number of subscribers doesn't necessarily mean the number of viewers.
Yeah.
But he is, you know, he has got billions of views under his belt, even at the end of the day.
He has a lot of success away from YouTube as well. Let's talk about Prime Video and his projects with them.
Yeah, so this is the new thing. Working in YouTube video production is quite different. It's normally kind of you call all your own shots, essentially. Yeah. Now, he has built a company around his YouTube brand. He has done what a lot of people do in this area, where he's grown fast and he's hired a lot of friends and family. And it's all a bit more kind of Wild West than you'd expect, you know, like 40 or BBC would be. And it's gotten to a point now where he is so big that more traditional media, and even though Amazon wouldn't be traditional media, they're a disruptor in and of themselves, but they're kind of more approaching traditional media as a company. They're now courting him to be part of their organization in some sort of shape or form, because he brings in a massive and quite a young audience as well that they want to actually have, you know, their fingers on. So Amazon has basically partnered with Mr. Beast for something called Beast Games, which is going to be the biggest game show that you'll ever see. So even outstripping the Squid Game, the reality Game that Netflix did, which Irishman Eric Roberts was actually in, this is going to be 1,000 contestants competing for a $5 million prize. And the thing about Mr. Beast is, we were talking about the scale aspect of things. Everything is big.
Yeah.
And the prelude to the Beast Games show with Amazon, which hasn't come out yet, it's expected in about November.
Okay.
So we're expecting it soon, but we'll get into how it's been maybe going to be pushed back and beleaguered on that level. But he has done like a prelude show, which involved 2,000 contestants competing to be the 1,000 contestants that get to be on the show.
Oh my God.
This is to be broadcast on his own channel. And that was also part of the partnership as well. Because Mr. Beast is such a big deal, this isn't a case of Amazon, you know, bringing in a YouTuber and giving them their platform. This is really Amazon wants to reach Mr. Beast's platform. So he kind of holds the cards in this deal, and he has total control over Beast Games and how the show is going to be run, essentially. Now, obviously, Amazon being, like I said, a bit more of a traditional media company, when it comes to the Amazon show, there will be more controls in place, because, you know, they have legal teams and they have experience in compliance and things like that. But it seems to be that this prelude show wasn't quite managed very well. There wasn't even maybe sufficient crowd control, because when you've got 2,000 contestants, yeah. you also have a massive crew on top of that. That's a lot of people to be managed in an area, and in an area where they're competing in games and things like that as well. Yeah. And now there's a class, well, seeking class action lawsuit. It currently has 5 participants, but when there were so many people involved in the show who are now saying that they didn't have the best time competing in Beast Games at the Prelude, it could turn into a bigger lawsuit than the 5 people that have already filed it.
Okay, so what has gone wrong with it? It's not actually on the Amazon show. It's on the YouTube. So it's on Mr. Beast's own channel.
Yes, so this is the 2,000 contestant show. No. And even that has been brought into the lawsuit, in that people thought they were competing in the Amazon show, which had been advertised as 1,000 contestants. So they had a 1 in 1,000 chance of winning $5 million, as they were suggested. But then they turn up and they realize there's 2,000 people, and actually they're only competing for a chance to be 1 in 1,000 to compete for $5 million. So part of the lawsuit was actually false advertising in that respect.
Fair.
But that seems a bit nitpicky compared to the other stuff. I mean, there are some complaints of unsafe conditions, even the working conditions in general, people not being allowed breaks, people working on the show being paid below minimum wage, not being paid overtime. It's a non-union show as well. So like, and as well, it would have had a massive crew. So,
I mean, if you look at it, if you look at a show like that, like 2,000 people on one set who are contestants, you normally for something like that need the crew to be bigger than what the contestants are,
or at least, you know, managed in it like a 1 to so many people kind of level. So, and this is the thing, I don't think they would have had the experience as a like TV production, because they don't do TV production, they do web series production. It is a bit more of a Wild West in web series production. They probably didn't understand what they were taking on with the scale of this. Now, he has done big things like this for his YouTube channel before. He did his own version of Squid Games, where he had, I think it was like maybe hundreds of contestants, but he did have a prize of $456,000 for that. So you can imagine how many people that would have attracted. And it was like, you know, obviously he wasn't killing people off, but it was Squid Game-like challenges. And it very closely replicated Netflix's intellectual property, Squid Game. And as far as I can tell, did not get licensed from Netflix to do that. And the theory is that Netflix wouldn't sue him because Mr. Beast is too popular. It actually would be bad for Netflix to run against him.
Fair. Yeah.
Now, that's just a theory.
No, I know, but they're looking at what the bad press is around it and what they would get out of it. And if anything, they're probably like, Squid Games is Squid Games. So,
and yeah, there's so many pieces online of how did Mr. Beast get away with just ripping off Squid Game in this way? That's just one
okay,
of the
so, like, let's talk about this now, right? Has, like, do you reckon that this show is too big to fail right now, even with an impending lawsuit on top of it?
But that's a big question. I think companies will probably just go with whatever is going to make them the most money. I'm very skeptical on when it comes to morals and ethics and big business. And it seems to be like this had $100 million budget behind it. So that's the Amazon budget for the show. I don't know if that covers this. As I said, this Prelude show kind of operates in a grey area. But the total show is $100 million budget. And obviously the deal is very important to Amazon. Mr. Beast, like I said, has a massive audience. So if they even get a percentage of that audience and have to, you know, go through a lawsuit for that, they probably would weigh up the cost benefit analysis there. But that's even been talked about as well, as in how Amazon ended up with this deal, because other streaming platforms, other TV production outlets were interested in conversations with Mr. Beast, but when he wanted all of the control and people were skeptical about how well that would be managed, I think maybe some brands backed off and let Amazon take the deal and see what happened.
I know
there.
It just seems a little bit like there's too much in it. Like, let's talk about Mr. Beast and philanthropy, because that is a word that gets thrown around an awful lot, and it is something that, you know, some people aren't too impressed about. This, like, who has he helped?
So he has a whole channel called Mr. Beast Philanthropy. And again, that's one of his other popular channels, has tens of millions of subscribers. And he has said that all of the money he makes, it's estimated maybe $700 million a year from his YouTube channels.
Jesus Christ.
But he says he invests all of it back into his YouTube channels. Now, obviously, he is, you know, looking after his friends and family and he has supported himself and he has a nice lifestyle himself. But he does kind of put the money back into the show. And you can see that with the expense of creating his own Squid Games and things like that. And another way he puts it back into the show is he does these kind of philanthropy stunts, I suppose you would call them, because it is all philanthropy for the sake of doing it for YouTube. And I think that's where people get a bit icky.
about it. It's not that he's doing a good thing because he feels like he's got all this money and he can help someone. It's like, I'm doing a good thing off the back of I'm going to get the praise from it because I'm going to be recording it and putting it up onto an entire channel dedicated to me being a good guy.
Yeah. And like, sometimes it can be like he built a house for someone.
Amazing.
Or yeah, just give someone money. And in some of his other videos, and there's a mix here then between like the main channels and the sub channels, but he also will sometimes get people to do challenges to get a certain amount of money and stuff like that. So he is constantly giving away money in various aspects of his channels, and people kind of really favour him for that. And I suppose when you look at, like, he's been on YouTube for a long time, and like I said, he has courted a young audience. When you look at some of the content on YouTube and some of the popular characters on YouTube, you know, parents were probably more comfortable with their kids watching someone who was sharing his wealth in some shape or form than some other more kind of cynical creators online. Some who are more about, you know, teasing people, maybe being a bit mean and things like that. So I think that actually helped with the growth of his channel, is that he was kind of seen as a more innocuous, more friendly YouTube personality than the more avant-garde ones. When you think of like the ones who would be more like at his level would be the likes of PewDiePie, who started off in gaming streaming the same way Mr. Beast did, and Logan Paul, same thing. Okay, and okay, both of them have stink around them. So.
Yeah. Sorry, like any of the Pauls. Yeah. It's just that you mentioned it once.
Mr. Beast is now in partnership with Logan Paul because he also has a food empire.
Of course. There's actually no stopping it. There's probably so much to cover here, but I just want to ask you, like, okay, so Beast Games is what we're talking about here. But it's all part of a big project to win over young viewers because Prime Video has bought the Champions League rights here too. What are they saying about the situation there?
So Amazon is now part of this legal suit.
Okay.
So, and that's where it becomes kind of sticky because, like I said, this is about the pre-show show.
It's about the YouTube show.
Yeah.
And not the...
But Amazon is now being deemed responsible for that having happened because it is still aligned with the show that they have lined up to produce. So, like I said, so far it's five people that are suing them. There are allegations of the unsafe conditions, but also even sexual harassment claims within that suit. So, like, this is really not good. And even there's some really sketchy stuff where people apparently weren't fed for a really long time and then filmed eating Mr. Beast's chocolate bars, the Feastables. So obviously they look like they're ravaging the Feastables and they love them because they hadn't been fed for a few hours. So some really, really sketchy stuff going on. And Amazon being part of the legal suit now, you know, I suppose they haven't really come out because, like, you know, they're addressing a legal case. They're probably going to be tight-lipped on what's happening there until they figure out what they're going to do. Is this going to turn into a class action suit with even more claimants on it? That's a big question mark. I don't think they will pull the show, if I'm being totally honest.
Okay.
I think they've invested too much already, I would imagine. And I don't know if the controversy is going to be enough to pull back on that investment. And Mr. Beast has survived controversy before now.
Yeah, so he had some controversy during the summer as well. And like, has he come out the other end of that?
Well, this is the thing. Like, when you have a fandom that measures at such a vast scale, like, even if some people turn away, even if a percentage of your fans turn away from you, like, you still have legions of fans at the end of the day. And it seems to be this thing with YouTubers as well. They operate in a world where a lot of people, like, I'm sure a lot of people that are listening never even heard of Mr. Beast. And he is, like, the biggest YouTuber in the world. He is world famous. And it's the same, I suppose, as the K-pop phenomenon or esports phenomenon, where, like, there's people who make millions in these areas that maybe a lot of people don't actually know a lot about. And it means that YouTubers kind of operate in this Wild West environment where they don't get the level of scrutiny that, say, a TV personality would get or a TV production would get. And the things that, like, have started to happen now that he's crossed into the mainstream is he's getting more scrutiny. So things have been revealed in terms of old tweets and old videos that he has done that had more problematic content in them. Like I said, parents might have seen him as a more of a safe YouTuber, but he is a YouTuber at the end of the day. And he has done some stuff where, say, he's repeated slurs over and over again in one video just because he was asked. Because he would do dares and things like that. And he would, you know, say some problematic things. And these things have started to resurface now because this is what happens when you get into the mainstream limelight. People start nitpicking and looking into things. And then also one of his crew members, Ava Chris Tyson, has had allegations of grooming made against her and has since left the crew. And so what has happened is, I mentioned he kind of hired all of his friends and family. His mom was his compliance officer up until very recently. But the Beast Empire is having to change in the respect of this growth now and this new kind of mainstream attention. And he's had to kind of change the way he runs his business. They're bringing in sensitivity training. They've hired a chief HR officer, or at least they've advertised for one. They've brought in one of the veteran crisis PR agencies to work for them now. They've hired a legal team. So they are getting more formal.
On everything
as well.
Yeah. Aline, I feel like there's going to be so many developments on this story. You will 100% be checking back in with us, because this is kind of one of those never ending things. Even when you talked about it at the very beginning, you said like this is a story that you think is about to end and then more gets added onto it. Aline, as always, thank you so much for joining us. That is Aline Burke from For Tech's Sake Podcast.
With Laura Fox. Podcast.